Hello and welcome to Fueling Around with me, Jason Plato, and my very own, well, I'm reading the script and he says blue sky, but I'm changing it, to my very own Mr. Hayes. It's Dave Vitti. Now, Fueling Around is powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help you save you money on your, well, your car, your bike, or even your home insurance. So then, Dave, how the devil are you?
I'm all right, actually. I'm a little bit perturbed by the fact that we're only a couple of weeks away from Christmas already, and I've got that anxiety that I get at this time of year where I don't really know what I need to do and for whom and what it's going to cost, and I'm just sort of at that point now.
I know what you need to do is get that credit card, which is gathering dust, and spend it like a Catherine wheel, mate.
I know. I just don't like this time of year. It just reminds me of just sort of standing aimlessly in shopping centres like Brent Cross, thinking, I don't really know what I'm buying. I don't even know who I'm buying for. And it's just, time is marching on.
Well, guess where I should have been today, but I think I've got out of it.
Hang on. I don't think, and this is nothing to do with our guests waiting in the wings, I don't think you're allowed legally to say where you should be today, are you?
Yeah, might have a very good point. So I won't. Well, I'm meant to be doing jury service, but I'm not. I've managed to get out of it, which is great. But I'd like to do it, though, but not now.
Is that the official answer, you'd like to do it?
Anyway, this week we've got a double bill.
Mm-hmm.
Not one, but two guests. And these two people are married to each other in a husband and wife kind of way.
Yeah.
If they ever join forces for some music and grill work, I think we could call them the Texas Barbecue. It is, of course, Charlene Spiteri and Ben Williams. Hi, girls and boys, how are you?
Hello.
How are you doing? Hello.
Hello, and welcome.
Thanking you.
Last time we were together, Charlene, we were in some rain-soaked venue up in the north called Carfest.
Yeah.
Was it a Jag?
I don't know. All I remember is that I fell out your car. Literally, you drove me round the track and I was hanging onto the ground for grim death, thinking, please, please don't make the vomit come out of my body. Literally in front of all these people that are watching me crawling across a track on my hands and knees.
Was it that bad? Oh, God.
Must be worse than me, Jason.
Honest to God, I am the most car sick person on the planet.
Are you a bit racy behind the wheel?
I like a bit of a race, yes.
Do you? And how does that go down with her indoors?
Slow down.
I don't mind driving fast. Bryn's a brilliant driver, so I never, like, he knows, it's just, it's when it gets windy. If I'm driving, I will drive fast. I don't have a problem with speed. But it's not that I'm scared. It's just that I'm really badly motion sick.
I would have thought, though, Bryn, obviously, with your heritage coming from North Wales, the twisty stuff is what you're all about, isn't it? I would imagine you come from a rallying background like most people in that part of the world.
Road rallies, Cumbrian rally, RAC rally, yes, all day long. Love it.
Well, do you know what? Hey, I was up at Anglesey last week and I decided, it was like 5 o'clock at night when I was about to go back home down south. And I looked at the map and I went, oh, God, that M6 looks hideous. So I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go right across the top. And I went over the Betsy Coed Road all the way.
A5.
Oh, my God, what a road.
What a road. That's off the Evo Triangle, isn't it? The famous Evo Triangle.
Okay.
As you go past Betsy Coed, 20 miles south of there, if you turn left, you've got the Clacoenoch Forest, and that's where the Evo Triangle is.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, great roads, really, really good roads. Yeah.
I love those situations, you know, when you've got a journey to do and you know you've got plenty of time, a bit like that. You know, you kind of think, I haven't got to be there in 2 hours. I haven't got to be there in 3 hours. I'm going to spend the whole day and just really enjoy the drive. And that's one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, I think for me, a car's not something to get from A to B. A car is about enjoyment, the smell, the feel. You get to know the car. So, obviously, Jason, you must be around the Anglesey track, were you?
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah, good track.
Yeah, it is. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, good.
Although I was so looking forward to this day because I was doing some film for Fifth Gear, and it was, I mean, it's an epic car that we were testing. It's the new Ferrari SF 90, which is 1,000 horsepower, fastest thing they've ever driven. Or they've ever made. And do you know what? The long run, I was looking at the weather forecast and trying to predict it for weeks. And and wet, honest to God, all the way up there. And I left on a Sunday night, and I don't know if you're anything like me, but I'm thinking a Sunday night. I just watch, and it was the Grand Prix was on. I thought, I just watch this. So I was late leaving, and I got about an hour and a half away. I thought, I can't drive no more. So I stopped at the hotel, and then got up in the morning, and the weather was lovely, and it was lovely. And it was lovely until 3 miles away, and it just, I drove into this like cloud, and it just never stopped raining all day.
You go over the bridge and it starts raining, doesn't it?
Yeah, do you know what? Yeah. It was like literally just over that bridge.
There's a reason why it's so green and lush, isn't there?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not short on water, put it that way.
So, new album, an unbelievable 33 years since the first one. Is that right?
Oh, no. Yeah, 89 was the first Texas album. It's been a long time.
Oh, my God, that's incredible.
I can't believe it when you give figures like that.
I know, it's weird.
To me, when you sort of say 20 years ago or something, I still think I'm in the 80s. And I can't believe that you put dates in the 90s and you kind of go, no, that was 25 years ago.
I know.
It's just terrifying.
No, it's weird.
But Charlene, a fantastic career, 33, 34 years going, and then back on tour next year, I believe.
Yeah, we start a new tour in February, very beginning of February. We start on the British tour, and then that goes into Europe, which then goes into America. And we were supposed to be in Australia and New Zealand in January, but that has been cancelled because, you know, obviously we know with COVID and travel and this, that, the next thing. So I don't know if that will get tagged on to the back or what, but I'm really looking forward to getting back out on the road.
And is it true that the first gig of this tour is at the same venue that you played your very first gig back in 88? Is that right?
Dundee.
Oh my God.
Dundee University. So we're playing Dundee University, which was the first gig that we ever played. We played the bar, not even like the main venue.
Are you in the main venue now?
I bloody hope so.
Bloody hope so. Imagine, are you back in the bar? Get in the bar.
I don't even think you get the band on the bar. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, our equipment's got so much bigger. It's just, you know, it was, I remember just hanging onto my guitar for Grim Death and thinking, oh my God, I don't know what to say to anybody. Oh, it was terrifying. And now you just can't get me off the stage. You kind of shut me up.
And have you been back there since? To that venue?
We've played the university again quite a few times, but right. Not the bar. Right. But we literally went from playing the bar that on the first gig to playing Edinburgh Playhouse. Wow. 2 days later, opening up for Fleetwood Mac, because the band that were supposed to be opening up for them got Top of the Pops. And back in the day, you used to find out if you get Top of the Pops on a Tuesday. Yeah. And then suddenly everybody would drop everything. So it was literally the support band got Top of the Pops, and we stood in for the support band and opened up for Fleetwood Mac.
Wow. How cool, eh?
It was good.
That's brilliant. And presumably then, this tour next year is this one that's been on and off for the last, what, 2 years almost?
Yeah, it's been literally, you're doing it, you're not doing it, you're doing it, you're not doing it, you're doing it. It's been one of those. But then we just kind of, you know, it's like everybody's done it. You just bite the bullet and you go, do you know what, move it to 2022 because we're just going to keep moving this the way things are going. Mm.
And Bryn, are you going to be out on the road at all next year, or do you have to stay at home and do the washing up and stuff?
I stay home and do the washing up. No, being a restaurateur, you're always on the move, always on the go. I've got a restaurant out in Switzerland, so I'm travelling quite a bit out there. And there could be another one in Saas-Fee at the end of next year as well. So always on the move. But obviously, you know, after COVID, it was quite nice to do nothing for a bit, you know, as a chef.
I bet it's great to be back though, eh? To be open and I bet it's just the best.
Absolutely love it. Yeah, it's the best. Just back into the kitchen, back where you love to do. Yeah. It doesn't matter what you love. If you love something, it's the best feeling ever.
Well, you see, for both of you then, it's all come round. You're all back doing what you do. Both performing of sorts, I suppose, Bryn, you know, are you performing in the kitchen?
Well, behind closed doors, yeah, I'd say, yeah.
So what I want to know is, who does the cooking at home?
Me.
Charlene.
Wow, really, Charlene?
There's not even an argument. Like,
Do you love it?
It's more, I actually really do love cooking. And, I, you know, it's funny because you know, you're saying about like what we both do, but it's unbelievable because I remember when Bryn and I first got together how similar being a chef was to being, you know, a musician. Mm-hmm. You know, you do all your prep in the morning, so that's like, well, we don't do the morning, but we do the prep, which is the sound check and everything. And then there's a bit of a gap and then off you go. It's like they go into service and we go into the show. And then you're buzzing at the end of the night when you come off. And I was like, wow. And the hours are really similar apart from we don't do the early morning. But I was so shocked at how similar it was. And but I love cooking. I've always loved cooking. I've grown up with a family that everybody cooks. And, you know, I don't cook like Bryn, obviously, but... You know, I wouldn't expect him to sing like me. So it's a bit.
Do you know what? I think your cooking might be nearer to his quality than his singing is to yours. I'm just putting it out there.
There's a way of falling out.
I wouldn't disagree with that, Jason. I would not disagree with that.
There was a thing that made me laugh, and I can't remember. It was a few months ago when I saw it, and it was Saturday Kitchen, Jason, and you love this, right?
Yeah.
So Charlene's on there, and obviously they're talking about Charlene being married to Bryn, who's one of the finest chefs in the United Kingdom and a proud Welshman, and they're doing Food Heaven and Food Hell, right? Yeah. You know where I'm going with this, don't you?
I know where you're going.
So they asked Charlene, of all the things, what's the one thing that she can't stomach? What's the one thing that would be her food hell? Again, remember, proud Welsh chef, right? The one thing?
Go on.
Lamb.
Oh, no!
Lamb.
Oh, I hate it. It's bloody awful. Oh, yeah. I don't like it.
How is that, Bryn, when you take your new wife home to meet the family and lamb is off the menu?
I know, it's a strange one. You know, being a Welshman, you're always... eating lamb, it's a staple in Wales kind of thing. Sunday roast, a Wednesday roast, whatever, you got shepherd's pie. But when Charlene goes, no, I don't like lamb, I was like, oh, it's going to be tricky.
I did cook.
It's a bit of deal breaker.
Yeah, but I did cook your recipe. I cooked Bryn's lamb recipe, and apparently I do it very, very well. He does this amazing leg of lamb on a bed of potatoes and all the juices run out of that into the potatoes. And I've cooked that for the family. I didn't eat it, but... Yeah, I cooked it.
Sounds good. Sounds
good. Can I let... I'll let a little secret out now, which probably will get me into all number of trouble, but my wife's dad is originally from Iraq, and he obviously, he's a lamb eater. But we get invited there right round for Sunday lunch quite often, but often we have to go, do you know what? We just can't make it today. I've never known a man... who loves entertainers so much, who loves his lamb, he just puts it in a volcano and it's absolutely destroyed. Cooks it to death. It's tasty, but there's nothing that comes out of it wait, if you squeeze it through a press. No juices, no nothing. Am I in, do you think I'm in trouble?
I like it better like that.
Do you?
I could do it like that. Yeah, I could do it like that. Does he rub loads of spices and everything in it? And like, does he like... Because that's kind of like, I can eat it when it's done in that in some kind of like Middle Eastern way or something like that. I'll eat it then, but I will not, like when there's pomegranate and everything in it and stuff like that, I'll eat it no problem. Well, I say no problem, but push comes to shove, I could eat it. But it's just straight lamb. I'm like, nah, it tastes like fag ash to me.
Right, on that note, I think we should talk cars, shouldn't we, Jason?
Yeah, I think we
change
should.
Change subject.
Fagash lamb and pomegranates, let's get the hell out of it.
I think I met Fagash lamb once, a gig in Swansea. Right, anyway, let us move on. It is a car podcast after all. We need to find out about your early car memories. Obviously, there's both of you and we want to flip back between the two of you. So ladies first. Charlene, tell me about the early car memories. What was the first thing you think of when people ask you about cars as a kid?
I think of my granddad and I think of his car and that was a Riley Pathfinder. Ooh. And I had a big bench seat. My gran used to sit in the front with a giant slipper. She just had this one big zip thing that she would put, like, and there was also, I used to love in the back seat because it had, like, you know, the little arm that comes out and folds down. And I used to love, because back then, you know, you were allowed to sit on top of things.
Oh, you'd
like that.
Sit on it to get extra view.
To get a little bit of height. And I was quite, and me being car sick. So I was always allowed to sit in the front, but because I was car sick, I used to sit on that and it used to take me up a little bit higher and I'd be fine. So that is what I think. I mean, I can remember the smell to this day. I remember all the wood inside it and it was just a beautiful car. And my granda loved these cars. That's like my very first memory of going to Carbeth up to my granny granddad's little hut. We used to fish with little fishing nets and stuff like that, and I just loved getting in that car.
How great is that? What a lovely story. But how good were bench seats? Why do we have those now? Weren't they good?
I love bench seats. I love anything with a bench seat. I literally go and like, get a bench seat. That's what I'll have.
How about you, Bryn?
The first memories, one of three boys, so squeezed in the back of a Mini Clubman driving around North Wales, you know, in the early 80s, mum and dad. My dad was an absolute Mini fanatic, and he still is this day. Sitting in a Mini, always fighting who's not sitting in the middle. That was the biggest thing, you know, arguments, fighting.
First cars, Bryn, what was the first car you ever had?
The first car I ever had was, you've touched on it, you know, road rallies, rallying, all the rest of it. So I got a Mini Clubman, 1340. So it's bored out from 2005, A-plus engine, on a Weber.
Three-in-one exhaust?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Good lad.
And the car had done the Cambrian Rally, so a full cage, a potty light in it, all the rest of it. So with my dad being absolute Mini nut, he said, I was grass tracking at this point. So he goes, listen, he goes, I got a car for you, but we need to fix something else first. So my dad being a mechanic, he goes, right, there's an Escort gear in the farm. The fella says he wants us to get rid of it. I think he's knackered. We'll go and have a look at it. So I remember going to this barn with my dad. He turned the plugs off, turned the plugs out, turned it over, a bit of water comes out, right, plugs back in, head gasket gone, fine. Goes back to the farm. Oh, yeah, it's knackered. It's not, you know, we'll give you 50 quid for it or something ridiculous like that. Take it home, get it all fixed. And my dad swapped it for this Mini 1340, and that was my first car at 17. I absolutely loved it.
Mate, I bet you wish you still had that now. That'd be a cracker.
Do you know what? Yes.
Is that in one of your extra special garages?
No, it's not. I sold it, but I should have kept it. Should have absolutely kept it, yeah.
Charlene, first car?
Mine was a Volkswagen Golf.
Okay.
I got a Golf, and I was in Texas by this point. I was 19, and I went to the garage and bought a brand new Golf.
Oh.
And I was chuffed to bits. It was my first car, and oh my god, I loved that car. The thing that really sticks in my mind is it didn't have power steering. Yeah. Man, when I used to park that, I swear to God, I was like Popeye. It's like I was like Jesus Christ. But yeah, I loved that car. I went everywhere in it. Just that feeling of, you know, getting your first car and the freedom that you suddenly, like, that's literally on your doorstep of just, you wanted to visit everybody. You're like, don't worry, I'll come and see you. I'll drive. I'll come to you. You know, like anybody you knew that was far away, you were like, I'll come and visit you.
Need any milk? There's a lovely milk shop 40 miles away.
Yeah, exactly. You just wanted to drive everywhere. Yeah. And I used to, like, I just loved that car so much. That was my first car.
So that would have been a Mark 1 then?
Yeah.
Yeah, just the best.
We've said this a lot, actually. It's about the fact that it is just that sense of freedom, isn't it? You know, you learn to drive and you're always driving with somebody, a family member teaching you or instructor teaching. There's always somebody sat on the left of you. And then when you finally get your license and you look to your left and there's no one there and you just think, wow, do you know what? I'm just going to go off on my own and I make all my own mistakes, and that's when you learn to drive. And as you say, Charlene, it's just such a wonderful, wonderful feeling of freedom.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, I was desperate to drive. I remember as a kid just being like, because like I grew up in Loch Lomond and like there was loads of boy racers and everything, and all the guys that we went to school with and everything. I mean, we used to like do like stupid stuff, like get in our friend's mum and dad's car when they were away for a weekend and stuff, and like, you know, drive up and down the drive as you did when you were young. Yeah. But, you know, and my first car, but it's funny because our daughter, Misty, she's the complete opposite, because growing up in London, she's never had any need for a car.
No.
Yeah.
And it's a really strange thing, but suddenly she's just got a boyfriend and he lives an hour away. So she's like, Bryn, can you teach me to drive? So now she wants to learn to drive at 19.
Yeah, but when you live in the countryside, you know, you either get the bus or you drive, so you pass your driving test as soon as possible.
Yeah.
So what came after the Mini, Bryn?
The crank went under Mini, and I was into a few more girls than cars at this point. So do I get the car fixed or get something else? And I got a Nova SLI.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, it was nice bit of good radio in it, bit of a you know, the sound system. That was quite cool.
And did
cool
you do the parcel
like...
shelf and put some big bangers in the back parcel shelf?
Yes. So it was a MDF, yes! MDF parcel shelf, yeah. Yes. Cut it out. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah. They were the good days, man. Oh, they were really good days.
How about you, Charlene? What did you go on to after the golf?
I went on to a BMW 3 Series.
Colour?
It was Midnight Blue.
Oh, that sounds exotic.
And you know what? At first I thought, you know, my mum loved that. I think my mum loved that car more than I loved that car because its back end used to, like, literally the slightest bit of sleet at anything, especially in Glasgow, because I was still living in Glasgow at this point. Oh, its arse end used to just be like floating.
They're not good in the snow beamers, are they?
No, it literally the slightest bit of snow, and honest to God, the back end was just like all over the shot. And you know, the roads are bad enough without in Glasgow without like a bit of snow on top of them. So yeah, that was my next car. But at that point, I was literally mostly touring. I was gone for a long time. So my mum actually did more driving of that car than I ever did of that car. So that was the car that she loved.
So your mum's obviously a bit of a low key drifter then, I would imagine.
Oh, she loves it.
She loves a bit of drifting.
She always wanted a Spider. That was her ultimate car. Was like if she was like, I just love a Spider. She always wanted a Spider. So that was her. But no. So that literally, I went from the BMW after that, because I wasn't into that float thing, and that was then when I had my first love with 4x4s. Because then I went on to a Defender.
Proper one.
Yeah, proper Defender and a short wheel base.
And is this living in London or where were you?
No, I was still in Scotland at that point.
Okay.
Great bits of kit.
So what followed the Defender then, if you then got into the 4x4s?
Well, what happened was my manager, Rab, had always driven G-Wagons. So I had literally, I'd never really knew G-Wagons, but when we first met in like 1986, he had a G-Wagon then, and I was always like, and I always really liked it, and I thought, that's a nice car. So when I got pregnant, I then went, because of the suspension on the Defender, I moved from the Defender onto G-Wagon, and then that was where my love affair with G-Wagon started.
Weirdly, Charlene, whenever I think of the G-Wagon, they're normally always in black in my experience, and whenever I think of it, I genuinely think of you, and I don't know whether you know this story. When I used to work at Radio 1, I used to have a parking space below Broadcasting House.
Oh, what did I do?
And I finish the show and I go and get the car and I'd be driving home, going home for a little kip in the afternoon. Mm. So you came out of this little side street in central London, and you've got these two lanes of traffic slowly coming down towards Regent Street, right, Jason?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know where you are.
So the idea is you've got to sort of edge your way out. And it's one of those things where, you know, you try and sort of get the person there to sort of go forward a little bit, get that one to go back a little bit, and just edge your way through. And I'm halfway through these two lanes of stationary traffic. Literally, there's this like... And I turn round as if to kind of say, who's that?
No way.
And it's Charlene there giving me the V's like this.
Fucking no.
In this massive great G-Wagon.
That sounds a bit right for me.
She hasn't changed a bit. She hasn't changed.
Ben's always lets me, you're going to get punched one of these days. And I'm like, shut up. Like, whatever. Probably.
So you're still into the G-Wagons now, though, Charlene? She's still like them now?
I literally just sold my G-Wagon because she was like, old, and she was like, she just turned into a money pit.
Have you driven a new one?
I've driven a new one.
What do you think? It's quite a difference, isn't it?
It's very different, and it's very different as in like space wise inside. You know, because like my G-Wagon just seemed like it was like gigantic inside.
Yeah.
But and the old one, I had all the wood and everything in it, which was really lovely. But you know, I've got a love hate relationship, because you know, there's a lot of tossers now driving G-Wagons. And I'll be honest.
Hold on.
You know.
Let me decipher that. You said what?
You were in there in the early days before they got tossy.
Yeah, well, it's not that. It's just like, you know, you kind of go, oh, my, it's turned into a bit of a yummy mommy car now. And I'm a bit like, nah, I don't want to drive it just now. So I get rid of mine. And then I go through love-hate moments with it, as Bryn knows, where... Today we were walking down the street and two drove past, and I can hear them. I can let them. I was like, oh. And I will get another one, but I got rid of my car in London, so I don't need a car in London anymore. And right. I was just kind of like, I don't know what I want to do. I don't know what car I want. I can't make up my mind, but I know I'll end up with a G-Wagon.
Hey, you know they're making an electric one?
Yeah, that's what I'll wait for that. That's the thing.
I saw it a few weeks ago back at the Munich
Motor Show. Electric G-Wagon?
Electric G-Wagon, I kid you not. It looks great.
Is it beautiful?
Yeah, it looks really cool, actually. Really cool.
They're just such... I mean, that's... Bryn knows. I either like a car that looks like a box or a car that looks like a bubble. Mm. I don't do long cars. I just... There's nothing attractive about them to me at all. I just go, oh, no, I don't like that. That's really long and thin and looks like a shark. It just doesn't work.
Well, it leads us quite nicely onto Charlene. Out of all the motors that you've had, and we need to catch up on your car history in a second, Bryn, but out of all the cars you've had, I think there is a connection here. What's the favourite in your motoring lineage?
My G-Wagon.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I have a Morris Traveller as well, which Bryn brought me for Christmas a good few years ago. Wow.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
Is it? No, my Morris. Well, no, because my G-Wagon and my everyday car is my G-Wagon. My right. Morris Traveller is like, because this is why I brought it in. My Morris Traveller is my baby. That's my moggy. Because that car, it's literally like a hug. It's literally like people see it. It's like our dog. We've got a little Welsh Terrier, and people stop in the street and go, oh God, like there's those old fashioned dogs. And whenever we drive in my Morris Traveller, because we don't take it out in the rain, because she's very precious.
Well, she's wood for starters.
Yeah, she's wood. And basically, people stop and smile and point, and even little kids that have never seen one before, because it's literally literally looks like a car that is like a car you would draw, you know. And I really love my Moggy. She's just a beautiful, beautiful car.
Wow, it's a great car. Great car.
And as you say, cars of that age, it's the smells, isn't it? You know, the leather inside, the wood. Yeah. I mean, they bear no resemblance to a modern vehicle, do they?
Exactly. The thinness of the steering wheel, just the way it feels going through your hands, and the effort that you put into driving it in comparison to what you would do with a modern car.
See, modern cars are not going to smell like old cars in 20 years' time, are they? 10 years' time, 50. They're just not going to smell that way, are they?
Bryn, where do we go after the Nova then? We need to have a little bit of a catch-up on your motoring history.
Well, the Nova had for a couple of years, crashed it like we all did. That's the only car I really crashed without jinxing anything. And then bought the Mini and then moved to London. So I didn't have a car for about 15
really?
Years.
As long as that?
I left London, left North Wales for London, I was 20. And I think I didn't buy a car till at least 32, 33. And then I bought a Golf TDI, 1900 diesel Golf turbo. Great car, really, really good car. I was going backwards and forwards from London to Wales quite a lot. And I used to sit in the motorway. It was just easy, do you know what I mean? Nice car to drive.
Did you say a lad from Wales has bought a diesel?
Yeah, I know.
a rally lad from Wales has bought a diesel.
Bought a diesel. I was thinking of the pennies, Jace. I was thinking of the pennies. so I had the Golf, got rid of that, and then restaurants came in, and then I bought myself a 911 Carrera 4S.
We're talking.
Yeah.
This is where it all changes.
This is where it starts getting,
Aren't they the best?
Oh, a great car. So you know what, I was in Silverstone on Friday doing a Porsche day, and we got a speedster, got new Taycan electric, all the rest of it. And I got into a GT4, which I'd never driven one before.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's a proper thing, isn't it?
I drove the best all day in a GT4 because it's mid-engine. It's not stuck out the back. Yeah. But beautiful car to drive, so I just ordered one. Yeah.
Oh, have you? Good lad.
Wow.
He was unbelievable. He phoned up and I said, oh, how was your day? And he went like this. You've bought another car, haven't you? And he went like this. I swear to God, that was the comment. I went, you've bought another car. He went, I might have done. And I went, you've bought another car. And he went, yep.
Well, I've put my name down for one because they don't do a lot, do they?
I like that. Yeah. You just pulled it back slightly.
Yeah. Oh, he's such a liar.
Yeah, so 911 as I've never been a daily runner, but a 911. And my daily runner is a Fiat Arbath 595 Competizione, 180 brake horse. Yeah. Lovely car to drive. Loads of fun. Loads of fun.
Hey, tell me, what do you think of the Taycan?
amazing. Absolutely incredible. You know, to get from 0 to 60 in, you know, 4 seconds and back down in 3 in a lump of that car, unbelievable. But we're going back to old cars and the smell. You know, the old cars, you smell petrol. You know, you can smell the car. In this electric car, you know, more expensive, more powerful, faster. I had no real connection to it like I did the GT4. You know, GT4 for your flat six, 4 litre, 420 brake horse, PDK box. Yeah, lovely. So electrics are good, but they don't, it doesn't do anything for me. I don't get out of it smiling.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And that's what I want a car to do.
Yeah, everyone says the same thing. And I think we're all in the same boat in as much as we can feel that in the next 10 years, electric cars are going to be everywhere and it's almost going to be sort of socially unacceptable, I think, to drive anything different. But we're all clinging on for grim death to actually some big petrol-powered lump.
That's not going to stop us buying V8s or get one out the garage. You know, the secret garage.
Yeah, secret garage.
We'll go and keep them in Bryn's secret garage.
Yeah.
I'm going to add to Bryn's secret garage. I've decided, because I just discovered a car that I never knew existed, and I was like, oh, my God. And I literally have been, like, I've been surfing the internet, just, like, looking for them, going, oh, can I find a right-hand drive? So the car that I'm looking for is I want to get one of those old Scouts. Have you seen the Scout?
Ah, yes, yeah, yeah.
I really like it.
Is that the military thing?
Yeah, it's like it's absolutely gorgeous. And I was like, oh my God. It's like literally there's nothing in it. It's literally like a box with steering wheel and gears. And I went, oh, I'm into that. That is right up my street.
Not getting my garage.
Oh.
Bryn's going to buy me a mini moke. That's what he says he's going to get me.
Is that what you want?
Yeah, I want a mini moke.
Moving swiftly on.
Rin, if this is something that we ask a lot of people, what's your two-car fantasy garage then? There's no price limit, but you're only allowed two vehicles. And bear in mind, well, they've got to do everything that you need in life. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what? What I'd really love, I was just talking about GT4, a GT3 Tourer, I think. Yes. Porsche 911 GT3
Tourer.
How
weird is that? I was looking at one today that cropped up on the internet on one of these, like, auction sites. And there's one on there in a special colour. I think they call it... acid green. It's in, and it's a Touring. What a great kit.
Great car. Just without the spoiler, all the mod cons, no roll cage in it. Yeah. You know, you could really, you know, go from A to B in real pleasure. And you put your foot down, have a nice smile. So I think a GT3 Tourer would be one. And I don't know, maybe I like my old Minis. Like I said before, I used to grass track when I was a kid from the age of 12 till I was 17. So I'm a bit of a mini nut.
Yeah.
I got a 1275 Cooper S, a bit like James Martin in his garage. I got one of them, mini van and a mini pickup. I got quite a few. So I would love a 1275 Clubman shape. Mini, you know, the early 80s. But one of those two cars I'll be happy with.
Right. This is probably, let's think who would make
it. I think I know where this one's heading for, by the way.
Right, so the biggest motoring mistake. I'm going to go for Bryn first.
My biggest motoring mistake? Selling my Mini, my first ever car. That's got to be, you know, I quite often look around on auction sites and classic car just to see if that Mini ever pops up again. Do you know what I mean? I know it's on the road because I've, you know, it's on DVL, but it's never been out, never been sold again. So if that ever came up,
Charlene, how about you?
Mine was on tour in 1989 and again on a sale on a price, which was literally buttons on one of the old James Dean Porsches.
Oh, my God.
And they literally, we were trying to find a shipping company to ship it back to the UK for me. And we just went round and round and round in circles. And eventually I just went, oh, God, this is too much hassle. And just let it go. Yeah.
No.
I still go, oh, when I think about it now, that's my motoring.
Was that a genuine James Dean car?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, we gutted. Anyway, that was it. Silver. It was literally stripped. It was just down to the whole, it's just like no paint. I was just right down to like the mess. It was absolutely stunning. That was a big mistake. You know, that we just like, it was just, we were traveling, we were going from, we were in America doing, it just, it was like, we were in LA for about a week and it was taking, it was turning into a nightmare trying to find someone to ship it. And then it just got too much hassle, and I went, oh, whatever. Yeah, we got it. I still shake my head, just going, I'm literally gazing out a window as I'm shaking my head here, telling you that. I'm going, oh, God, why did I do that? Anyway.
I've got a fantastic therapist on Motoring Stairs, because I've done loads. I'll pass his details on to you.
Well, listen, I'll cheer us all up at the end with this question then, and I think, Charlene, this has got to be for you. We ask everybody, music and cars, we think, go well together. So we need your fantasy drive, please. Where are you? Where are you going? What are you listening to? Most importantly, what are you driving?
Okay. I'm driving in America. I'm doing the run from LA to San Francisco right along
nice.
The coast.
Yep.
I'm going back and forth on what I'm just trying to decide on the car here. I'm thinking my dream car to be doing it in is one of those big Woodies, you know, the old Woodies, the surfer cars.
Yeah.
One of those, all the windows down, and I've literally got Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell blasting.
Yeah, I love
blasting
it.
Just back to back, Marvin and Tammy. And just, I'm not driving dead fast.
No,
the wind
chilling.
Blowing, the air's really warm. You can feel when you breathe in how warm the air is. And you just get the sea breeze coming off along the coast. And I've got a big picnic in the back of the Woody that I can open up and sit on it with the double doors just open up and keep stopping all the way along. That's my dream.
Yes, please. That sounds amazing.
Sounds perfect.
Doesn't it?
A picnic made by Bryn. How about that?
Yeah, he's in the car as well. He's right beside me.
None of that dirty lamb, though, eh?
He's in
no
there
lamb,
making
please.
Butties.
Yeah. Travelling chef.
Come on, Bryn, over to you, mate. Where, when, what, and what you listening to?
Being a massive foodie, French food in particular. So Paris to Bordeaux. I think there's down to a vineyard in Bordeaux. AC Cobra. I think, I don't think I'd like to own one on a daily basis, but an AC Cobra.
How many underpants are you taking with you?
Yeah,
like spares?
Every single one, I think. Yeah, definitely. And maybe, you know, when you first get a car, it's all about music. So Oasis, Stone Roses, just, you know, one of those albums just playing back to back all the way down. So yeah, AC Cobra. And the Stone Roses or the Oasis albums, yeah.
Wicked.
There was me thinking, I thought he was going to say, with my wife singing beautifully in my ear, with her dulcet tones.
Well,
no.
Me too, to be honest, Charlie. I definitely feel some sort of, not a domestic, but definitely a discussion.
Yeah. Jason, you know the way that at the beginning of this podcast, it felt a little bit like it might kick off at any minute and we need to get into it. Like, I almost feel like we now need to get out of it.
Ding dong, ding dong. Right, that's it for this week's Fueling Around, powered by Adrian Flux. As the UK's largest specialist insurance broker, Adrian Flux will tailor a quote to your exact needs and help save you money on your car, your bike, or even your home insurance. Thanks, Dave, as always, but a huge thanks to our very special guest this week, the one and only Charlene Spiteri and the chef extraordinaire, Bryn Williams.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Superb.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Brilliant to have you on. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Jason Plato or at David Vitti. And if you like what you heard, feel free to give us a 5-star rating, press the subscribe button and share the podcast on all your socials.
Right, that's it, folks. We're getting out of here because there's a scrap coming. See you next week.
Bye-bye.